All right, so this week we're going to be relating the Parshas Balak. Most of the Sefer Balak is a narrative. It tells the whole story where Balak hires Bilam to try and pronounce a curse against the Jewish people so he'll have an easier time defeating them in battle. We know that every time Bilam tried to curse, Bracha came out instead. And so the plan backfired. It's interesting, there is no indication in the Sefer that the Bnei Yisrael at the time were even aware of what was going on. All this took place on various mountains overlooking where the camp was, and there's nothing at all that indicates that Bnei Yisrael may not even known about it, that they're even aware of it. But at the very end of the Sefer, we have another narrative after the story of Bilam. According to Chazal, Bilam gave advice. It really is based on a pasuk in the Sefer 2 weeks from now. Bilam gave advice how to trip up the Jewish people. My plan to curse them didn't work, but I can tell you how to get their God angry at them. And that is, he doesn't like znus zima, he doesn't like prohibited sexual behavior, especially with regards to non-Jews and so on. And therefore, you want to get him angry, let the women entice the Jewish men and get them to be with them and ultimately over worship of the Zohar. That'll get into big trouble, and that's what happened. That's what happened. And so this was going on at the very end of the Sejun, B'mimah Parakof Hei. So the leaders were at a loss of what to do. And suddenly, in Chof Hei, B'midbar Pasuk Vav, Hinei Ish Mivnei Yisrael Bo, Le'akrev Elecha Ve'samidin Esla, Enei Moshe, Le'enei Kolodas Mnei Yisrael. There was a certain individual, who's named later, next week's Sedra, named Zimri, paraded a Midianite woman right in front of the Moshe and all the Zekanim, and they were weeping, they were lost, they didn't know what to do. And they marched into a tent together. It was obvious that they were going to be with each other sexually. And so Pinchas, Pasuk Zion, Vayar, Pinchas ben Elozim ben Aaron HaKohen, Vayakom mitocha Eda, Vayakom mitocha Eda, Vayikach Romach b'yado. So one Jew, Pinchas, the son of Elozim, the son of Aaron HaKohen, the grandson of Aaron HaKohen, decided that this cannot be. You know, we can't tolerate such behavior. Zimri takes a woman, her name's also not identified in this Sedra, but rather in the beginning of next week's Sedra, Cosby Vastur, who was one of her father was one of the princes, one of the leaders of the Midianites. And so Pinchas ran in, he took a spear, and so he went ahead and he speared them. He took the spear, and they were, according to Chazal, in the act of, or beginning the act of intercourse, and he speared them. He killed them both in one shot, the man and the woman, and the plague, which broke out in punishment, was stopped. 24,000 Jews died. Contrast to the eagle, you know, it mentioned 3,000. I mean, it's a lot of people either way, but, you know, this is a terrible event. And Pinchas, in effect, saved the day. And at the beginning of next week, said Elena Mincha and Shabbos, and Pinchas was rewarded for this. But the actual story here is the end of Parshas Balak. So the question is, and we've explored different aspects of this, what exactly gave Pinchas the right to go ahead and to do this? He took a life. And in fact, Chazal and the Joshua and the Gemara say that there was a time against Pinchas. I mean, you can't just go and kill somebody with vigilante justice, right? You know, not so simple. What happened? There's a Bezdin, there's a system, there's a court. Can't just go ahead and decide to get angry. But the Gemara, therefore, tells us in Sanhedrin, Sahar of Shita, I get there, I don't know if I have some something I want prepared, but anyway, the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, of Pei Aleph Mabez, a statement, the Haboel Aramis Kanoim Pogimbo. A Jewish man who cohabits with a Aramis means a non-Jewish woman. Literally means from Aram. It doesn't mean any Jewish woman. Kanoim Pogimbo. Somebody who was a kanoi, who was a zealot for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is allowed to kill him. That's what it says. Habol Aram is kanoim pogim bo. And the Gemara tells the story. What happened? Tofsab of Lo Risaw, this Zimri, the Gemara is on the next page in Sanhedrin, Pei Beis of Allah. It says, Gemara outlines what happened. Tofsa Bivlorisa took it by her clothes, by Vio or by her hair, by Via Eitzel Moshe Amalo Ben Amram, Zu Asura Umoteres. He challenged Moshe. He walked up, this Midianite woman that I'm bringing with me here, and he said to Moshe, am I permitted to be with her or not? And before he answered him, Tomar Asura, if you could tell me it's forbidden, Bas Yisrael Mihitira Lecha, who allowed you? You married a Midianite girl also, the daughter of Yisro. Okay, who allowed it? And the Gemara says, Nis'alma Mimeno Halacha. So Moshe got confused. He forgot the din. Forgot the halacha. Just forgot. We have a few places in Chumash, specifically four places in Chumash where Moshe didn't know the din. You know the din in terms of the,
No
Slavchot, next week, Cedric, when there was no male heirs, only female heirs, so who inherits it, the next week, no Slavchot. Okay, the Mekoshesh ate him, assuming he either chopped trees or he bundled the branches, he didn't know on Shabbat, what exactly that. And then there was the person who cursed, the Mekalo, the person in the Parashah, or cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe didn't know there what the problem was, and a few weeks ago, Pesach Sheni, right, the people were Tomei, the first Pesach, Nisan, Pesach Rishon, so what do they do with it? Those are four places it says specifically. But there are others, and this is one of the others that says, Nis'alma min halacha. So, go'u kula b'v'chir. Moshe didn't know how to answer. And so that's why it says, everyone's weeping. That's why it says in the Pasuk I read before. That was Pasuk in our Sedu, the other Sedu, in Parakopay. In Pasuk Vah, it says, Heima bochim peskong. They're all crying. And then, Xivayar, Pinchas Maloza, Ma ro'a. Okay, what did he see by Yair Pinchas? Ma ro'a? Omar of ro'a ma'isa v'nizka halacha. He remembered the halacha. He saw this going. He remembered the halacha. Omar lo, achi avi. He said to my, to achi avi abba. Okay, the brother of my, father's father, great uncle. Pinchas was the grandson of Aaron. So Moshe was his great uncle. So achi avi abba, the brother of my father's father, my great uncle. Lo tachli maratonim beritchom Har Sinai. Didn't you tell us when you came down from Har Sinai, habor elas akusis kanoim pogimbo? Isn't the din that somebody who's a kanoi is the right one? Habor elas akusis, kusis again, I mean, a non-Jewish woman. A Jewish man is with a non-Jewish woman, he's allowed to kill him. Okay? Didn't you teach us that? So Amar lo, kraina de igusa isul avivranka. You remember the din, you go do it. I told him, you're right, that's the din. You remember the din, you go do it. That's why Pinchas went and killed him. Okay? So that's the din. Habor Aram is a Jew with a non-Jew. A Jew is not... So people ask, what exactly is the Pope? Where exactly we find the source of the prohibition of intermarriage? So this is an example. A Jew with a Jewish man with a non-Jewish woman. Halacha is Kanoim Pogimbo. Now what exactly, how do you define as a Kanoi? We spoke about that in the past years. What exactly do you mean by a religious zealot? Pinchas was a zealot. And that's what it says. The next week's schedule, the Kanoi is Kinosi. So at the end of this week's schedule, it flows in the beginning of next week's schedule. Okay? So it says Kanoi and Pokemon. So I'm like, all right, Pinchas says the Kanoi is Kinosi. Right? It's interesting. We've mentioned in the past. This is one of the cases where even though it's a halacha, we call this a halacha, the Ein Morin came. It's a halacha, but you don't paskin that way. It means if somebody has to ask a shayla, then to tell them they're not allowed to kill the person. Pinchas, that's what Moshe said. I can't answer you, whatever you have to do. When he killed him, right? So you remember the halacha, you do what you have to do. Halacha me'mon k means you can't paskin this way. Why not? But what do you mean? If that's halacha, halacha me'mon k.
You're suggesting he knew it, but he didn't want to tell him.
Either that, or, you know, he temporarily forgot, the Gemara said. He forgot it. He reminded, but he wanted to tell him why, because the moment you have... Yeah, the definition of a kanoi, that's different. Yeah, but see, the idea of a kanoi is somebody who's so, let's say, walking the street with my wife or whatever, the guy walks up and spits in the face. Okay? And so I said, well, what should I do? Should I react? What do you mean? You want to punch the guy, right? Or whatever. You're so disturbed, you're so offended that you have to respond. The moment you have the presence of mind, you start asking, it shows you're not a kanoi. It doesn't bother you. That's it. Yeah, no, you start weighing. It makes sense. Doesn't make sense.
The time frame has to be very exact.
Yes, that's correct. That's right away. That's it. So therefore, so if you ask why, if you ask a shayla, the answer will be no. You can't. You have the presence of mind. You're not a kanoi.
He said he wasn't asked.
But he didn't ask. He said. He says that.
He wasn't a reaction.
But he said, the way the Gemara explains it, wasn't he asked? That's why Moshe didn't answer no, yes. Moshe said, if you're...
Yes.
Yeah, it's true, but it's interesting. It's a good aura, but he didn't really ask a shayla. He said, didn't you teach it? He told him, you taught us when you came down my sin. Low time, didn't you teach us this, right? But he didn't ask what to do. He knew what to do. He says, Kanoim Pogamo, didn't you tell us Kanoim Pogamo? And it's interesting, I once heard, I think I've said it also, I think the name of the Lubavitch Rebbe actually, what do you mean, Elokach Limadatono, or Limadatone, Beridit Chom Har Sinai? You taught us when you came down from Har Sinai. Oh, because usually it means, okay, it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. Oh, Moshe did something rather dramatic when he came down from Har Sinai. This Sunday is Shavuos HaBetamuz, right? And one of the things which happened on Shavuos HaBetamuz, the Shtabur Aluchos, right, Moshe came down. He calculates from six to seven, which is Mount Torah. Sure, it was 40 days. It ends up now at Shavuos HaBetamuz. Right, the Shavuos HaBetamuz on Shabbos. We push off the Sunday because we can't finish on Shabbos. So one of the things the Mishnah lists in the end of Tainus that happened at Shavuos HaBetamuz was that the luchos were broken. So what gave Moshe? You know, these luchos were written with the hand of a kid. Just smash it. You can't take a single Torah and throw it onto the floor or whatever. You know, they're not allowed to do that. So what gave Moshe the right to do this? A kanoi, right? There was a kanoi. There was a certain zealotry. He was so offended by the egel and by the affront of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's what Pinchas said. You taught us sometimes you have to take dramatic action. Okay. But anyway, that's not really what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the issue of intermarriage. So, because, you know, it's the question is, what exactly is the mukkah? I want to come back to this if we in a second. What exactly is the mukkah that is prohibited for a Jew to marry a non-Jew? Now, everybody knows, and it's not a big secret, but where exactly does it come from? So there is a pasuk, actually. It really roots, perhaps even has roots, in much earlier than Chumash, okay? In the story in Parshas Vayishlach of Shechem and Chamor, and they took Dina, and then the brothers, Shimon Levi, came in and so on. When they heard what happened, they were sad. They were angry. Someone that was with the daughter of Yaakov, a non-Jew was with the daughter of Yaakov. Okay? And the remember that the Jews, the family of Yaakov, was from the family of Shem ben Noach. And the Canaanim, the Chittim, and he was a Chivi, Shechem ben Chamor Chivi, they were from Canaan. From Chom, from Canaan, right? So the Gemara has in Rav Zardaf, Lamed Vav and Bey, Znus Nami Beis Dino Shel Shem Gozu. Okay? In the time of the Beis Din of Shem, there was already some sort of prohibition and intermarriage with the Bnei Noah. And in fact, the Gemara there quotes the story of Yehuda and Tamar became pregnant. Nobody knew she became pregnant from Yehuda just yet, right? And he thought she must have been with another man, therefore, Hotzi was sorry, it was also in Beis Din of Shem. But in terms of the actual Chumash, okay, the Jewish people. So, lechora, we have a pasuk in Dvarim, in Parshas Vayeshlach, the very end of Parshas Vayeshlach, the beginning of Perek Zayin of Chumash Dvarim. It says as follows: Kiviyacha Hashem Alkecha Eretz Asher Lo'Hashem Lo'Lisha V'Noshal Goyim Rabim Panecha Achiti V'Gigoshi V'Amori V'Knani V'Prizi V'Achiva V'Vusi Shiva Goyim Rabim Atzuvim Mecha. You're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to meet up with these seven nations. By the way, this is the only pasuk in Chumash where all seven nations are mentioned. Only once. They're all mentioned in different places. Not to mention five of them, some of them, six of them. This is the only time all seven are mentioned. Anyway, Unusan and Pasuk Beis, Unusan and Mashon Akach Vedekisam, because Baruch Hu will give over to you, will defeat them, Hachrem Tachim Asam. You have to wipe them out. Lo Sichos, Lo Hem Breach, Lo Sichonim. You're not allowed to make any covenant with Lo Sichonim. We're talking about that to pass too. You're not allowed to give them gifts or give them a place to live in the land or whatever, or praise them. And then Pasuk Gimel, the Lo Sischatein Bom. The Lo Sischatein Bom. Don't marry them. Don't let your daughters go with their sons. Their daughters don't take for your sons. So that would seem to be the prohibition of intermarriage. And it says why? It says, Kiyosis bin Chamacharai, right? It'll lead your sons astray. All right, and of course, Baruch will be angry about it and so on. Anyway, it's funny. This is a side point. This pasuk valid here. Kiyosis bin Chamacharai is one of the sources that they point to for the concept of matrilineal descent, that we determine the status of the Jewish child, Jew and a non-Jew, the status of the child depends on the mother. For many dinim, it depends on the father. Let's say for the Shevet, which Shevet you're from, you're a Kohen, it goes by the father. Your lady goes by the father. Yisrael, or your child Yehudi, your child Yehudi, it goes by the father. Huh? Yeah, right. So here, how do you know the Torah? It's not so clear. We assume different sheets. We assume matchless, it goes by the mother. It points out, what do you mean? It says, ki yosiris bincha. You allow intermarriage, ki yosiris bincha. He will lead your son astray. Modern should say, he will lead, either ki yosiris bincha, you allow intermarriage, he, the Goyish man, will lead your daughter, or you know, like he saw seer. She, the non-Jewish girl, will lead your son astray, but not he. So they say that it means the next generation. The child's going to be born in that union. Then it's ki yosir. Yosir, the father, the non-Jewish father, will lead his son, the grandson, as bincha, but he's still called your son because the non-Jewish father with the mother, being Jewish, the child's Jewish. If the other way around, I don't care, but it's not Jewish.
Right? Something later on that they made that thing with the mother.
So the Gemara talked to him. You're saying, this is one of the sources.
Whether with the Romans, something, Masada, something like that. It was.
The other psukim.
Something happened that they were getting in, you know.
I don't know what you're referring to. There are psukim elsewhere, but this is one of the sources. Probably other sources. Probably are. But I also want to mention, okay, that you do have. Well, okay, you do have. Maybe this is what you're referring to. In the pasuk in the Chemia. Okay, in the beginning of the Bayesheni period, not the Romans, but Paragud Gimel Pasuk. Yeah, Paragud Gimel Pasuk and Chav Gimel Pasuk Chavay. Gaba El Hamer Isias Hayhudim Hoshivu Noshim Ashdodios Ammonios Moavios. Okay, they took women from Ashdod, the non-Jews, Ammon, Moav, Uvneim Chatsim Adav Ashdod. They don't even know Hebrew. They only speak the foreign language. The Kshon Avam. V'Ariyavim V'Akalim V'Akamim V'Anoshim V'Etim V'Ashmiim Elokim. The leader Ezra and Chama, they say, we made them swear in Titnu, but I'll say, when they're in Titnu, I'll say, with Necham Chad. They're not referring to it. They made like a covenant, so to speak. They'll never allow intermarriage. Another posuk in the Chemi also, Paragir, posuk Lamed, Lamedah, Machzikim Alachem Adireim, Uvoim of all of Shul Alech, the Torah said, Okim, we're going to follow the Torah, and Nitni Ad Moshe, and Okim, and Shmo, but also coming to Hashem, Adonim, and Mishvat, and Hukav, and Shaloni Tain, and Osem, and Oret, that's been the same load nikach with Nehubanayas. There are other sources. The thing is, this, but the, again, in terms of biblical source in the Torah source, you have the Pasuk Lo Sishchatein Bo. Again, Dvarim Parag Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. However, pronouns. Lo Sishchatein Bo. Don't marry them. Who's the them? Well, in the previous Pasuk, Ketubsev mentioned the seven nations. So one could make a case that the biblical prohibition over here is only on marrying into those seven particular nations, but that wouldn't include today's whatever Christians or whatever, right? In other words, maybe it's only those seven nations. In fact, there is such a shita. The Gemara has in Avodah Zarah Lamed Vav Amud Beis. I mentioned the same doubt before. There's been Osei and Doraisi. The Sivul says Chatein Bom. Gemara has one opinion. Doraisa Zion Umos. The prohibition of the Torah is only with those seven nations. Okay, Avodah Zarah of Dechavim Lo, but that possibly does not include other non-Jews. Right, they mentioned one of those seven, not other non-Jews. V'asina began later on, the Chachamim came and begozer afila sha'ar kevchom. Okay? That's the one opinion. Shem Yochai disagrees. Shem Yochai says no. It mentions those seven, but what does it say is the reason? Ki yosir es binecha, they lead you astray. That applies to everybody, every non-Jew. Why did they mention those seven? Because that's who they have to be meeting up with. That's what they see. They weren't going to meet the Chinese just then. Okay, so who is that doesn't mention the Chinese or the Indians or whatever. Okay, so therefore he says he admits that the Chazal did something. The Torah only prohibits Isha's derechasnas, marriage. What about a one-time fling? You know, one-night stand or whatever? So that's what the Chacham, any type of those would also be forbidden. Tachshu machlokes, the Rambam threw out a pasuk. The Rambam hilchos isur biya, paragud beis halacha aleph, the Rambam writes, Yisrael Shabal Akum Mishara Omos Derech Ishus, O Yisrael Shinad Akum Derech Ishus. Hare Elokim and Atara, Shinema Los Ischatin Bom, Los Itain Livno, Los Itain, Bitcha Los Itain Livno, Bitcha Los Itain Livnecha, Echad Shiva Amin, the Echad Kol Umos Bisuzem. We're talking about intermarriage. The Rambam Paskins, the beginning of Paragud Beis, Hilchos Yerubia. It doesn't matter whether it was from the seven nations, not from the other seven nations. Any type of intermarriage is prohibited. Again, Echad Shiva Amin, the Echad Kol Umos, Bisuzer. This issue encompasses all nations, whether the seven nations or the others, okay? The Chain Mefur, Shalidei Ezra, and it was later confirmed by Ezra. I call the Potsim Nechemia. According to Chazal, Ezra Nechemia is one safer. Ezra Nechemia is one sefer. The list of the 24 books of the Chumash, Ezra Nechemia is like Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, or Malach Aleph and Malach Beis. It's only one sefer. Okay, so Ezra Nechemia is also one sefer. So sometimes the Gemara will say the pasuk in Ezra, and then on the side will say Nechemia. This is one safe. Anyway, later on it was divided into, by non-Jews, but it was divided into different, I think I mentioned one time, my grandfather, the rabbi, led a tour to Israel, and they came to the kever of Shmuel Novi. It used to be way outside Yerushalayim. Now it's right at the Tin Ramot. It's right near Ramot, not far. So somebody asked, huh? No, but the Yerushalayim expanded. Yerushalayim expanded in every which direction, so it's right nearby. Anyway, so the guide was explaining to Shmuel Novi. Somebody asked the Shmuel, how for Shmuel Pates? Anyhow. By the Kohen, the first, Edward the second, this is small offspring. Anyway, so the Rambam paskin that this prohibition, losis chateinbam, encompasses any type of intermarriage with any type of non-Jew. The tour in Avirasim and Tazayin says, v'nirali she'enu ela b'zayinakum. That particular prohibition is only with those seven nations. The low common, Yeah, but we're talking about the Archachas, right? The low common of Shimon and the Omar Kiyosva was called Amatsirin. We don't pass like that. Rav Shimon Yochai and Akamar Rosar Daflam and Vomit Beis, which says that includes anybody who might lead astray. Okay? And Vafilu B'Zayin Akum, Ein Lokim Mishmo Schata, Lachash Nizgara, Vodum Akum, Oshakwa, Chaslus, there's no Kedusha, Topsim, and so on. Okay? That's an important point. By intermarriage, Kedusha, not even Kedusha, there are different prohibitions. Let's say a coin with a divorcee. Coin's not allowed to marry a Grusha. If they do, the kedushin count. They're just living in sin, right? I mean, they're living, but an intermarriage is not even kedushin tovsim. Anyway, so the question then becomes: so 1 second. So according to the shita of the first shita, not like a kedushin. I'm sorry. According to the shita of Tur Pasim, that this possible this chatin bom is talking only about the shiva umos. I'm not saying you can tell intermarriage is permitted by the Torah later. I can't be. I mean, only the seven nations. So, now we come to the story of our parsha, Kamal in Pogambo. Because the Gemara asks, on the very bottom of Pei Aleph with Beis and Sanhedrin, back to that sugya we saw before, going over to Pei Beis and Aleph. Gemara asks, Boy, the name of Kaname Rav, Lo Pogubo Kanoim Mao. What was it? Just had Pinchas, I mean, the Ziri had bad luck. There happened to be a Kanoi around, Pinchas. Otherwise, Uda Mutter? What happened to the halacha is that if a Jew is living with a non-Jew, so a kanoi, a religious zealot, can go and kill them. Kanoi and Pogubo. That was a Zimri. So he had bad luck. What if I'll make sure that I'll come around that day, and I'll tell you, I'll marry and I'll go live somewhere else. You know, that it's mutter. That's a rabbi of kanoi. Lo Pogubo kanoi mau. Okay? So yes, what happened? You know, so he says, no, we have psukim. He answered. There are psukim. One is in Malachi, Parak Beis, Pasuk Gidala. Bod the Yehuda v'soiva anesav Yisrael v'Yerushalayim ki chilo Yehuda kodesh ha'masharev bo'al bas el mechor. The Novi Malachi complains about the people, and he says that terrible things that happened. The Jews have married non-Jews. You know, they married non-Jews. Okay, and the Gemara then explains. You see. Okay, and whatever the Gemara darshens each phrase there, but a ball about the nechazeh balakusis. Okay, and what's the punishment? The next pasuk Yud Beis, there Malachi, right after it says ball about the el nechar, Yachreis Hashem lois asher yasena. Hashem should curse, right? It'll cut off anybody who does such a thing. Okay, and the Gemara explains, and I just paid it up.
No,
so it's saying the punishment is curse. Yeah, okay, but that we can at least figure out that it's also.
Based on that.
Right, but it seems to me that the Gemara is saying, okay, that according to this view, even if you hold Los Yitzchatin Bom in Veschanon is only about the Shiva Umos, here you have Kanoim Pogam, which is also in the Torah, and the Gemara says, and if there are no Kanoim, the punishment is karsh. It's got to be also the punishment is karsh. You're right, it's not formulated in the manner of an Isser, but based on Navi. So that would probably mean is it was part of Torah Shabbat Peh. And then sometimes we find things in Torah Shvapeh, and the Navi later wrote it down. Don't forget, we have, for example, the...
So
the
guy who said that only Shiva Amim was not he aware, for example, that certain times the Plishtim, it has do like one, they were part of the neighborhood, where it says sometimes Plishtim, they are not Plishtim.
Part of the disguise, yeah. No, so I'm saying, but you see that even the Plishtim or even the... and that's actually the point, because let me make the point. You see, again, according to... We asked them, what's the prohibition of intermarriage? Yeah, the Pasim is not allowed to cut them. Yeah, but we saw there's one opinion that that's only talking about the Shiva Umos, and then it's what Pasim is that way. So what, not is us in the right answer? It is us in the right answer. I don't know. From here in our study, the end of Bullock, it says, come on in Pogan Bull, based on a sort of Pinchas. And the Gemara said, there are no come on in the punishment cards. It's got to be us. It's not formulated in an answer, but it's definitely us. Otherwise, I would say, Yachres Hashem. That's what the Pasuk says. Okay, you get Kares. Okay, for this sister. If there's a kanoi around, he kills you. If there's no kanoi around, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you in due time, and he gives you kares. That's the point.
Same with the courts.
Well, other cases, sometimes they can't do it.
Right,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure it happens. Yeah, right, if it'll be an accident. But you have to come to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however he'll take care of it. However he'll take care of it. The punishment of kares. Now, clearly, let's understand, that pasuk comes from Malachi. That pasuk, which says that the prohibition is kares, and again, I do want to mention, it's not the only time. There are other occasions where we find something which is not explicit in the Torah, but it was part of Torah Shabbat. For example, kavod and oneg on Shabbos. Never mentioned in Chumash kavod and oneg on Shabbos, but Yishai Hanavi mentions it. Okay, v'chibarato nasuz chavzel nasuz chavzel d'or oz tisaneg al Hashem. So kavod and oneg. Some people say those tzukim by Kiddush Shabbos lunch, right? So it's in the Haftarah of Yom Kippur, actually. But anyway, the point is that it's kavod and oneg. It's not telling us that kavod and oneg is the Rabbanon. Kavod is the Raisa. But it was never written in the Torah. It's part of the oral tradition. And then for whatever reason, from later time, it was written down. We have other examples of that. Okay, but in any event, this would be one such example, according to this view. It's never explicit in the Torah that it's prohibited to intermarry, but it was part of Torah Shabbat, and it's written down later. The Kanaim Pogambo is explicit, and again, it's also not explicit, but it's learned from this story, the end of our Sedra Bullock. And the punishment, according to Malachi, is Kores. Now, it's interesting because you cannot argue that the Pasuk of Malachi was talking about the Shivoman, the seven nations. Because by the time of Malachi, Malachi was among the last of the Nevi'im. The three last Nevi'im we have are Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. They were all at the same time, the beginning of the Ba'i Shem. There was no more Shivomos by then. Ever since the days of Sancher, the Gemara has in a number of places, and it's a Mishnah Masechet Yadayim, Parag Dal, Mishnah Dal. The boss Sancheriv, who Bilbo is Kolam Kula, Kola Umos. He mixed everybody up. What happened? Sancheriv was the general of Ashur, the leader of Ashur, Assyrian. Obviously, it was Assyrian.
Yeah.
Right. What was his tactic? It was a very intelligent and common military tactic. When you conquered certain territories, you know what happens, right? If a king conquers an area. So how's he going to discourage rebellion? Takes over the area. Because sometimes, he can have even a small group of rebels can overthrow a more powerful army. If they have what we call in sports like a home field advantage, a home court advantage. What do you mean? Like, so by the American colonists were able to defeat the British army is much more powerful at the time of the American Revolutionary War. So how did they beat? So a number of different theories. But one thing was, they knew the area. They knew the terrain. They knew the hiding place. They knew the ambush. These guys were coming from overseas. Didn't know the area. That's a big advantage when you live in your own area. Number two, even in terms of psychologically, how are you going to fight? You're fighting for your own farm. You're fighting for your own children's livelihood, right? These guys are 3,000 miles from home. They're in the army. Got to fight, So Sancheriv, in many olden times, they understood that. So what they did was they migrated populations. In other words, they took over six areas. They moved some of the people over here to over there. And it would discourage, they wouldn't know the area. It would discourage rebellion. It would blend in. That's how the 10 lost tribes got lost, right? I mean, that's what happened to the 10 northern tribes were conquered by Melech Ashur. And very quickly, we don't even know what happened to them. They were led away, and they intermingled with the people wherever they were. We don't know what happened to them to this day, more or less, right? So the Gemara has the expression, Yadayim, has the expression, Kvarola Sancher Melech Ashur Bilbel Es Kala Omos, and Bible Apostle. That was Melech Ashur. That was about 150 years before the destruction of the Bais Rishon. That's when the 10 lost tribes were exiled. Okay, 150 or so years before the Chorban Bais Rishon. Now, Malachi is living well after the Chorban Bais Rishon. He's into the period of the beginning of the Bais Sheni. So obviously, if Sancheriv had already, there was no more Knanim and Chiti. That's why today we don't know who they are. I'm not even know who they are. Right? So, therefore, it comes out that we have now, at least from our Sedra here, Parshas Bullock, we have another mukker, the concept of intermarriage, Kolabol Aram is Kanaim Pogamba, like we learned from Pinchas, and that includes the punishment of Kores in case there happens to be no Kanoi around. Okay, now, it's interesting, the Rambam points out in the Parish of Mishnah there in Sanhedrin, Parak Test Mishnah Vav, Ram writes, "Bol Arami Sheyivo Bas of the Mizor Farhesia Basar Mizvayoser." Okay, that's only true that you can come and talk about if it's in Ma'isim Farhesia, public. Kigon Pinchas. Okay. However, in private, also Lahargo. Okay, and he gets curious in the punishment. Can't kill me. A Kanayim Pogrimo is limited to a public act. Okay, and the Rambam quotes the punishment. Curious, the only time a Kanayim is allowed to do it is if it's a public desecration of the name of Hashem. As the case of Pinchas. Just some private guy is doing it, you wouldn't be allowed to kill him. Then we leave it in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, the fact of the matter is, though, again, in terms of our situation, marriage by definition is public, right? When you say they're intermarried, it is public, right? Now the Shulchan, so the Shulchan Paskin, we'll get back to that in a second. Shulchan Paskin, they have an Ezer Simit Zayin Tzibbeis. Habor Lakusis Imlo Pogobo Kanoim. Okay, if the Kanoim couldn't do it, like you said before, the Bezin couldn't take care of it. Her own Shul Mefurish V'Divei Kabbalah. The punishment is specified Divei Kabbalah. You know, when the Rishonim speak about Divei Kabbalah, they're not talking about Kabbalistic. Kabbalah means part of our oral tradition, which means literally the Navi, written down later in the Navi. She bekarish and emar ki chil yud dekarish shorheva bo basam lecho yachreis Hashem quotes those psukim in Malachi that we mentioned before. Okay, but again, that's always bo and the 1 second. Yeah, and the Chalkus Mechokek on the side of the page, that's one of the commentaries on the side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer, so it's important. Hey, he writes, it's mashma that the onesh, this onesh is only when it's something that's also in the Torah, like Derek Ishus, or it's for Hesia. But if it's Betzina, then you wouldn't have the right to get involved. Okay, anyway, what does Befar Hesia mean? So Hesia always means 10 people, okay? 10 Jews have to be aware of it. And but marriage, we say by definition, marriage is public. Everyone knows. And it doesn't mean that the act of sexual relation has to be public. Cosby were not the first either. Everybody knew because he paraded and went right into the tent, so it was obviously they're going to do. It doesn't mean for us, it means that when a couple is married, it means they're relation with each other. So that's enough of a public act. Okay.
Right.
If they're aware of it, Now it's interesting just to point out there is a difference just in terms of whether the male is the Jew and the female is a non-Jew or vice versa. Okay. The Ramban is Muhammad and Sanhedrin on Daf. It's page Yurches and Alam, the page Rib. It's Mistabra, the Yisrael Habala Nachres, Mikre Gila Arias. It's an example of one of the Gila Arias, one of the forbidden sexual liaisons, which is punishable, even if your life is in danger, you're not allowed to do. Okay? The Havala Kechai the Mises, Makaris, and so on. Havala Niv Eres Min Anochri, but the other way around, if the Jew is the woman, and a male non-Jew is with her, that's Ein Pogamo. Kanayim Pogamo doesn't work there either. It's also, but it's Ein Kanayim Pogamo. Okay, there are differences. Okay? And one difference, huh? It's somewhat less severe. Okay? If the woman is a Jew, it's less severe. One reason may be, or one point to bear in mind may be, because, they have a child, the child will be Jewish, like I said before. I think, Rahman al-Islam 100 times over, but sometimes you hear cases where Nebuchadnezzar is intermarried and the parents sit shiva, But I think originally in Europe, the minhag was, that was only if the Jewish party was the man and the non-Jewish woman, the parents sat shiva, because that meant their grandchildren, weren't going to be Jewish. That was the end of, that was the shiva, the end of that family line, so to speak. Hashem came the other way around. Well, it's a bad thing. Okay, I'm sure it's a different minhagim. That's only a meaning. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Kufnun Zayin Tzifalev over kachoma bal basio ain't a bechag gilras. The Shulchan Aruch says that a goy with a non-Jewish woman is not in the category of gil. It doesn't mean it's mutter. Okay, it's not bechag gilras. The difference would be yaharag vayavor. Would you have to give up your life? Okay, I don't want to go into all these details, but this was one of the questions about Esther from Purim, right? Esther Achashverosh. On here, if it's Gil Arias, so why she agree to be with Achashverosh? It could be because she was a Jewish woman, so the black guy. Yes, but a gilei raya is the beginning of your life, right? It's one of the gilei averus hachamuros, but not when it's a Jewish woman. That's what I'm saying. Okay, that's one of the stories. Anyway, this is the story in terms of Kalein Pogo. I do want to mention one other issue, okay? I mean, I have over here the Hagos, Mordechai, and Yevamos, Paragdalos, and Kuf Ches disagrees. He says, the Kalein Pogo, Gaman, Yevamos, Laramis, Laramoi, Kalein Pogo. They're around also. He quotes at least one opinion like that. I do want to mention one other possibility in terms of a mucker, the prohibition of intermarriage. There is a Pasuk, later in the Chumash in Kiseit, it says, Osiya Kadesha mi b'nei Yisrael, v'loya Kadesh mi b'nei Yisrael. Okay? Now, we usually define that Kadesha is a prostitute. Okay? That's prostitution is not allowed. And v'loya Kadesh mi b'nei Yisrael, that's what it means, male prostitute. It may not mean that for our purposes. But the Targum Unklus there, in Kiseit, Dvar and Parakov Gimel Posseh, says, right, on Osiya Kadesh mi b'nei Yisrael, lo tehe itzo mi b'nos Yisrael, legvar avad. A Jewish woman should not be with a non-Jewish man. Well, he said, "God made Israel, it's Allah." And a Jewish man should not be. That's how he defines Kadesha. So prostitution we learn from somewhere else. Okay, but anyway, there is that notion. So we have three possibilities for the mukar of intermarriage: either los ischatein bum in parshas Eschanim, if that goes on all of non-Jews. Okay, although we have a story from here, parshas Balak. With Pinchas and Kanai and Pogimbo. And the other possibility is, according to some, is Losia Kadesh from the Israel. Now, yeah.
Like a Kohen can't marry a woman that.
A divorce.
Or not only that, but is, they, that has been.
Yeah.
Is it like they call it as a. If,
yeah, she'd be with someone else who was not a baby.
But a non Jew.
Not every one of them. One of the examples, yeah. Okay, one of the examples.
But isn't it that it has to be? If
it's, yeah, it's still also, it's just not as, it's not Kari. It's not Kalein Pogo.
But it's only if it's a non-Jew, though, right? Isn't it?
No,
why is it called Zona if just if?
That's one example of a Zona. It's one example. Anyway, and that's the unique thing by a coin. I just want to mention an interesting question. Unfortunately, the marriages come up from time to time. So the question is. I'll just let's say you get invited to a in the closet. But let's say you get invited to a marriage. And we have it. I don't know, as family members or acquaintances, friends, whatever, marry non-Jews. That's a very uncomfortable situation.
You can't hear it.
And sometimes the nice people usually are nice people. They're nice people, and they very much want you to come. So I'm not here to paskin, every case you have to look at. You have to know the dynamics. You have to know what's going to be, how it's going to be taken and what can be done and so on. But first of all, just mention as a side point, because I've had this case also where somebody's parent, we were not from, and the child became from, whatever, an adult. And then the parent remarried a non-Jew and wanted the daughter to come to the wedding. Own daughter. A lot of ghosts. Again, I say every case of this type of case you have to look at individually. You have to know the person and there's the family dynamics and there's a lot to look into. But anyway, so this is a side point, but one of the things that the shmua is, in general, forget about intermarriage for a moment. Is a child supposed to go if the parent remarries? So the child will go to the wedding altogether. You hear around.
Even
a kosher wedding. It's good. A beautiful wedding. A beautiful marriage. So you hear sometimes the scuttlebutt sort of is that they're not supposed to go. Children shouldn't go to their parents' remarriage, so to speak. I'm not familiar with any mucker for that. Should the children come? So again, the scuttlebutt, like I said, is you hear the shmua, but I'm not familiar with any. I'm not familiar with doesn't prove, but I'm not familiar with any mucker. The Gemaras or Rishonim that say that you can't go to a parent. What you hear is some say that, and here's where your chiluk will come in. Again, we're talking about now a kosher marriage. I'll get back to the marriage in a second. But as I'm saying, even a kosher marriage, some say children shouldn't go. Children would love it. But so some suggest that it's, you know, because it'll make the other person feel, you know, in other words, if let's say my my mother's remarrying. So if I go, so it's going to upset her. She'll think of her first husband, you know, I'm the child of her first husband. It'll be almost depressing for the mother, so you don't want to upset her. That's one possibility. Okay, but again, what if it was a divorce? They're not worried about that. Or the people said, no, I want you to come anyway. So again, there are a number of different...
sometimes the
keep.
Okay. The keep.
Yeah.
And that's good.
So there is a tshuva of I'll be like Ein Hari, I mean.
I was led to keep.
You know, so sometimes it can be traumatic. Traumatic to the children, yeah.
The kids feel the pain that the other parents would
not there.
Might think Mashavot different.
So it's interesting, Rav. You see, some contemporary person discuss this because there's such a minute, so to speak. So Chaim David Alevi, the Aselech HaRav, a great Sephardi person in Tel Aviv, Rav Rashi, was the Rav Rashi? Definitely, was the Rav Rashi, right? So he has a collection of children.
They wanted him to go for
Chief Rabbi.
For the chief, he didn't want to. 3 years
later, he didn't stop. Yeah, so he wrote the collection of children, Aselech HaRav, so Chelik Dalet of his children. Which I'm sorry I didn't bring all the covers, but he had a situation or an explanation of the minig. It is a minig, you know. Mm-hmm. So he says, because, you know, this will be in a divorce case, okay, and I also want to apply to a coin, but he says, every, you know, when parents get divorced, no matter what age, the children deep down wish or hope that the parents will get back together. Mm-hmm. Right? Even if they're divorced, the parents don't hope that it'll work out, the parents will come back together. So you're gonna bring him to the wedding, marry somebody else. Game over, right? That's a sin, and they're never gonna come back together again. So that's what you said. That's what Chaim David Alevi said, that the children will, have, you know, and who knows what thoughts they'll have, and so on and so forth. He mentioned other possibilities. You know, it's interesting that I think. Right. That's why it's subjective. That is why it's subjective. I agree with you. That is why it's subjective. Okay. Again, you know, it's floating around. This is a minute. I don't know. I said at the beginning, I don't know any real sources for it. They discuss it. Chaim David Alevi proposes this idea. Another idea he says is that, you know, when, and this applies in either case, even by the death of the other parent, when there's a new chiyuv that comes upon you, if even though it's not my father, it's my mother's husband, or the other way around, it's not my mother, but it's my father's wife, the mitzvah kibbutz avein. It's a very tough mitzvah to come. It doesn't matter, because there's such a thing as my father. Out of cover for my father, I have to have cover for his wife. Or cover for my mother, I have to have cover for her husband. Even though it's not my, I'm not related to this person. I'm not talking about step parents. Yeah, but even I'm not step parents that raise you. I'm 50 years old and my father will be married, whatever. You know, I mean, I'm going to do that. I don't know the person.
Really, the cover's going on right. Natural.
Right, it is, but it's an extension. So Chaim David Alevi writes, you know, Kibbutz is a very hard mitzvah, and I have another person to do this mitzvah. So, but anyway, that's just in terms of, in general. So, but I really don't know. They try and give them an explanation for this, you know, for this idea that the children should go to the, you know, to the wedding. You know, maybe it takes away from the comfort of the other parent, you know, let's say the divorce. The father remarried. So the mother's upset about it, you know, whatever. So you have to look at each case, but I don't know really any marker. But coming back to our situation, finish up now about intermarriage. So what about going to, so forget about children for a second, but in general, is there an issue to go to an intermarriage? I'm not doing anything. So if you're involved somehow in the proceedings, so then
you're not allowed to go
into
the venue.
Yeah, so let's say have it in a hall somewhere, you know, there's some open hall. You know, you're right, going to a church. I mean, I know of a situation personally where a young lady whose parents got divorced, the young lady and her mother became observant. The father did not observe, he was remarrying, and he wanted his daughter to come to the wedding. He was in a church. It was in a church, the ceremony. And Soloveitchik said she cannot go. I know the case personally. Okay? Soloveitchik said she cannot go into the church. She can go afterwards to the to the party. You can't eat anything, but you could show up there. But you can't go into the church. Anyway, but forget about it. Let's say it's not a church. Let's say it's by the Justice of the Peace or whatever. They have some wall somewhere. They have some legal official, not a religious ceremony. You know, but so there's no lifnei iver just by participating, and they can get married with or without you. But we do have something called misayel advar avera, where it's not lifnei iver. Lifnei iver means without my help, without the person block for the blind, without my help, the person wouldn't be able to do it. That's a neighbor. What if he'll be able to do it? But I, you know, like, I know he's not, I drink wine. So Noza says, can you pass the wine, please? So I pass it to him. He could have gotten up and reached it himself. So it's not listening either. He just asked me, sir. The wife, I'm the one who gave it to him. That's called Misayaya. I don't know, would this be Misayaya? If you're involved and you help them get the hall and, you know, and get the caterer or whatever, so that's Misayaya. But if I just show up, you know, I don't do it. So it's hard to say that's Misayaya. Maybe it makes it more of a simcha, I don't know. But that's harder to say that it's Misael, Adeo, Gravera, just said, well, it's Misael, they didn't need me, I didn't need any contribute anyway. However, there is a notion, yeah.
What about gay marriage?
So I'd say the same thing. I mean, you know, I would say the same thing. In fact, gay marriage is actually parallel to intermarriage in the sense that the Kedushin are not posting. There's no Kedushin.
No,
nothing's happening. Okay, nothing happens. Other by other way happens, but no.
Then
what?
But there's no marriage.
Yeah, right, right. There's no violation. But you know, the truth is, there's some. I mentioned with some of Paskin that you can't go to the in the case of intermarriage. I'm not talking about children now. I'll tell you what I heard in the Rosh Hashanah in a second. You shouldn't go to the ceremony, but you can go afterwards. They have. I'm not sure I agree with that, but that's what some Paskin say. Okay, you can't go to the ceremony, but you can go afterwards to have a dinner or whatever, and they'll get you kosher food, or you just won't eat, whatever, and you'll be there. Again, you have to look at each case. Sometimes that's the answer. I've given that to the people who don't come to the ceremony. I don't prefer that, to be honest, you know, because the truth of the matter is, the whole thing is a big avera. The Gemara says that the Jewish people in the days of Haman got punished by the Megillas Esther story. Shendanim Yisudos Hashreus Day. They went to the party and partook of the Suda, you know.
Isn't your presence like saying Amen? Like,
right. Yes, I think so. But that says you don't come to the ceremony, you know, you made your statement, so to speak. I agree with you. I would, but again, as I said at the outset, you really have to know everything. You have to know the situation. It's just not simple. You have to know the dynamics And I will tell you that the two things in the Rosh Hashanah, the one I heard from him directly, one I didn't. One is Rosh Hashanah said that based exactly on your point, Lavi, that he said that for that reason, children can go to an intermarriage of a parent.
Below bar mitzvah.
Even over bar mitzvah. Why? Because nobody, if I go to the wedding, you go to the wedding, it's like saying amen. A child, it's obvious he's there for one reason. He's a child. He's not going because, oh, his presence shows that he approves of it. You know, you have to do it. The parents have to, you know, I mean, there are plenty of cases where, hopefully not too many, the other way around, where the parent don't like the children's marriage. It's about a Jewish marriage now, but they show up anyway. And no one says, oh, they're supporting. They do it because that's what the parents have to do. So, again, I didn't hear that Derek Meshachter was
right.
But Shechter said that with children, and not just children under bar mitzvah, even older ones, because their presence does not indicate to anybody that they're agreeing. Their presence, obviously, because they're a child. But the other thing I did hear from Shechter, I don't know the listeners will want to finish off with, he said, you know, when you have an intermarriage situation, okay, don't go to the wedding and everything, but somebody, at least somebody in the family, should maintain a kesher with the person, a connection to the person. With the intermarried couple. An intermarried Jew, with a Jewish partner, your cousin or whatever it is. Why?
Okay. Why?
He said, because look, statistics in the United States says one of them, two marriages, whatever, end up in divorce anyway.
Yeah.
It could well be that down the road this couple will get divorced. And because you or somebody maintained the kesher, you have a chance to bring the guy back, you know, to be a baltshuva or to at least, you know, next time marry a Jew. If the whole family writes him off and never talks to him again and so on and so forth, then there's no shachas that even if he divorced this woman, he feels that the family shunned him and so on. So somebody should keep a relationship. Said. I just want to finish over this in terms of intermarriage, because intermarriage really, but for a non-child to attend the wedding, for, you know, a non-child, a child who gave it to him. For a non-child, I really believe it should not go and explain out. I can't make it, whatever. A child can't do that. But you can, with somebody else, again, it's certainly not a family member, You know, it's interesting. So the Rosh Hashanah writes.
He's saying like parents gave them intermarriage should go for the child's wedding.
So I'm saying the parents can go because nobody there is going to say, oh, the parents said it's okay. It's understood that the parent is there because that's what the child. However, again, you have to know each case. I stress again, depends on the case, depends on the circumstances. It's maybe one parent can go. You have to look at each case by itself. Just to tell you the severity of intermarriage. Okay, it's interesting. The Gemara has an Erev of Yud Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu, sort of rescues or saves any Jew who was being condemned to. After 120 years to go the wrong place, Avraham Avinu rescues him, pulls him out. Avraham Avinu is able to get any Jew that was supposed to be cast into Ganem. Avraham Avinu gets him out. That's Erev Yud Tes Amud Aleph. He says, Ahud the Mechayva, he shayt to be Ganem. Anybody who was at the time after 120 years is supposed to go to Ganem. Also, Avraham Avinu Masa, the Mechabalu, Avraham Avinu kind of yanks you out, he bails you out. Bar, except. Yisrael Shabal Basal Kohan, intermarriage. A few other things he says also, but that's one of them. Now, Rosh Hashanah writes, and this will finish in the Sefer Eretz.
That means like the murderer gets.
In some ways, it's
more
I'll tell you why.
7 months, anyway.
That's it. But I'll tell you why. Rosh Hashanah writes, this is an essay we should go through another time. This is a Sefer Eretz in Simon Yud Zayim. The title is Gidre Hayuchsin Buma Yisraelis. The Yuchsid in the Jewish nation, there's such a thing as Kedushas Yisrael. Every Jew has Kedushas Yisrael. But the virtue of being born or probably converted has Kedushas Yisrael. He murdered somebody, he still didn't forfeit the Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael. But there's such a thing as being part of the Jewish nation, part of Umma Yisraelis. You can have a person who maybe has Kedushas Yisrael, but he forfeits, he has lost his belonging to Klal Yisrael. Yotzim in Haklal. And that's what we say by the Eino Bichlal Yisrael. That's what the we say to the Rosh on Pesach at the Seder. It says Lefisha Hotzias min Haklal, right? Kofar Beikar is a kofar. He removed himself from Klal Yisrael. And the Meshechta writes that the Krisas Bris with Avraham Avinu has there's four things. Four things is necessary to be part of Klal Yisrael. Uma is not Kedushah Yisrael anyway. Yisrael, the Jew sin is still Yisrael. But he says four things. This is Shaminu Zera Avraham Achdus Hashem. You have to believe in the oneness of Hashem. Beishi Kaima Mitzvah Smila Bris Mila. Okay. Gimel Shalo Yisu Nachrios. Intermarriage. And four, believing that Hashem who gave. Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people.
If you don't have that, you don't have
Kedushah. Kedushah Yisrael you always have, no matter what. But this will exclude you from Klal Yisrael. And so one of those things is intermarriage. And that's why intermarriage is so severe. That's why parents sat Shiva, Rachman al-Tzan, when children intermarried. That's why, because it's so severe. You're cutting yourself and,
there's no requirement.
You're right. Afal Yisrael, Afal Shechon Yisrael. Anyway, that's just an insight into marriage and the Parshas Balak. I wish everybody a good Shabbos.
I'm not going to be.